Scripture this morning is from one of John's letters, the first one actually, chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Skipping down to verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Now they say, and I'm not sure who they are, but they say that ministers really only have one sermon and we just keep saying it differently over and over. And maybe it's true, because sometimes I feel a little bit like a broken record repeating the same kind of thought, the Father loves you, the Father loves you, you need to know the Father loves you, because it's so important. I was asked by a colleague, what did I hope to achieve throughout my ministry to the people in my congregations through my preaching? I knew right away, that's an easy one. My prayer has always been that you would know Christ like I know Christ, and that you would be in as madly in love with Jesus as Jesus is in love with you. Because love is the key to everything. Love is the essence and power of God. And when we read a message that says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, and another translation uses the word extravagant, which I really like, see what extravagant love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Don't just skim over a verse like that, but pause and read it again and think about it and let that truth permeate your soul. The Father extravagantly, that means inexcessibly, loves you. If we ponder this reality, it'll change our core. Now think about this truth. God, the magnificent creator of the universe, chose to be born a helpless, vulnerable baby for the purpose of redemption. Creator of the universe became a human so that he could justly die for us and pay our sin debt in full. That's pretty magnificent. As opposed to this thought, the God, the magnificent creator of the universe, shrugs his shoulders and said, well, that didn't work out, and simply destroy the earth and everything in it. Why didn't God just do that? Because of love. God loved his creation even before he spoke the words that brought it into being. Love is why God doesn't destroy us. Love is why God desires that none should perish. 1 Timothy 2, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. When we were created in the image of God. We were created in the image of love. We were created to be love. The fall of man took that from us because we acted in selfishness. And the whole point of our salvation isn't a ticket to heaven, really. It's for us to be returned to the image of God that we were created to be, to become love again. Now, the famous passage of 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm sure you all know it, and you maybe even had it read at your own weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. The word love in this context, defined so beautifully for us, carries a profound meaning that testifies to this deeper, richer, satisfying love. It is a sacrificial love of true commitment and deep emotional connection. This is a love that is able to give without expecting and without needing anything in return. Now we can take that passage and substitute the word love for the word God, and the passage remains true. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices when the truth wins. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. Now here's the challenge. Can we, children of God, created to be love, substitute our name in place of love and maintain the truth in the passage? Can any of us go through the list and say, we have no envy, no pride, that we are never self-seeking, that we are slow to anger, that we don't keep records of wrongs done to us? But that's the goal, that we would be restored into love, that we could put our name in place of love and the passage still be true. That's who we are to become. Now, Jesus is the embodiment of true love, and it is only through Jesus that we receive and experience the reality of what love is. It's only through Jesus that we can receive the extravagant love of God that can fully capture our hearts. This is called agape love. It is committed and devoted, steadfast and faithful. Agape love is extravagant. God's love is extravagant. This love exceeds the bounds of reason and goes beyond what is deserved or even justified. As David wrote in Psalm 8, what are mere mortals that you, God, should think about them? Human beings that you, God, should care for them. Yet God does. Now we are given the gift of love. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it is the first fruit listed because all the other fruits grow out of love. Which means we really need to only think about growing love, growing in love, walking in love. Because all the other fruits, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, all those other fruits will grow out of love. But love is never intended to be stagnant. God is not filling you with his love so that it just stays there. But you're the vessel through which it moves. See, God's love is the kind of love that when we receive it from God, we are able to give it to others through the Holy Spirit working in us. As we read this morning, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to do the same thing for our brothers and sisters. Now, we might not literally be in a situation that we would have to die for someone, but we can certainly maybe die ourselves, our needs, our wills, our wants, for the benefit of others. We can certainly share what we have to help others. If we see someone if we have material possessions and we see someone in need, but we don't care about them, we don't have pity on them, how can we be love? Because love requires an action. And that's why John says, let us not just love with words or speech. Don't just say it, do it. Love with actions and in truth. James puts it like this. He says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, well, goodbye, have a good day, listen, stay warm and eat well, but you don't give them any food or clothes? What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. Faith without deeds is useless. See, love is an action word. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has a list of good things for you to do. And when we do those things out of love, we share Christ's love with the world. We literally are then the hands and feet of Christ. Love is an action word. When Jesus commanded us that we love one another, he wasn't talking about a feeling. He was talking about a lifestyle. Ephesians 5:2, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. When we sacrifice self for the sake of others, it's a pleasing aroma to God. This kind of a life is generous and caring. It's a serving lifestyle, committed to sharing God's love through action. Now, why do you think this is so important to God? That he expresses his love to us, that we would share it with others? Well, we've already read the answer. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never fails. If you want to change someone's heart, you love them. If you want to change someone's circumstances, you love them. Because love never fails. Do we really believe that, though? See, the trouble for us comes from our own lack of ability to truly love in the perfect sense of the word. Unfortunately, the world has taught us that love comes with requirements, expectations, that sometimes there are strings attached to people's love. And we've grown suspicious of the word. We've learned self-love really well. And we've learned to put our wants and our needs at the top of the list for fear that they won't get met if we don't. None of this is God's definition of love. So our broken, jagged kind of love can fail because it's not perfect love. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and to restore us to people of love, of agape love, of God's kind of love, that love will change the world. God is love, and God's perfect love never fails. When we become the vessel of God's extravagant, selfless love that shares genuine care and compassion, that love will not fail. Which means it will make a positive difference in the lives around us. Some of that change you will see, and some of it will manifest later. You might not ever see it, but someone else will. God said in Isaiah, "The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." God's word is a message of extravagant love. And wherever God sends his love, it will accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish. Wherever he sends it in this broken world, it will be restored back to wholeness. And we, the children of God, are the vessels which God uses to spread that love. We are invited to be a part of God's redemptive work of changing the world. Too often we throw up our hands and think, well, let's just wait till Jesus comes and he'll sort it all out. But we've actually been given a commission to be the love of God in this world today. To be the light in those dark places. To be a caring, compassionate people. Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you love one another." It's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. You have been blessed to be a recipient of God's extravagant love. Learn to rest in it. Just let it cascade on you. Never doubt God's love for you. Never let yourself believe God's angry or disappointed in you. He knew everything you would be about long before you were about it, and he loved you anyway. So receive that love, and then do your part. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit and be love to everyone around you. And don't worry about your own needs, because God will take care of those more abundantly than you could ever imagine. So embrace the Lord's love. Share it with everyone you come in contact with, and be a partner in God's kingdom work. Go now and share God's love, which has been made known in Jesus Christ. Share that love with others by the way you live, with the words you speak, by the deeds of your hands, with the prayers in your minds, and through the love in your hearts. The grace of Christ redeem you, the enduring love of God support you, the friendship of the Holy Spirit accompany you, this day and evermore.